Checking in with Quincy Health Commissioner Ruth Jones for another COVID-19 update here in the city. Hey, Ruth, nice to see you.
Yes, you also, Joe. Thank you. You too.
How's things going in the health department these days?
So it's, obviously we've slowed down a bit as far as cases. Right now we only have, as of today, 9 active cases, one of which is in a nursing home. So basically 8 active cases out in the community. From a total, when we first started all this, total number of cases is 1,275. We've had 10,084 people recover so far. So that's quite a feat. We've had 130 deaths, and the death rate really has remained the same for the last probably 8 or 9 days or longer, maybe. So we're doing well. The numbers have come down. We're still busy. The health department is the lead agency when we talk about the different phases that are reopening, and so we're busy responding to any complaints from any businesses or employees or patrons regarding any of these different sectors that are opening, and if people aren't following guidelines, wearing masks, things like that.
Yeah, that's what are kind of some of the, I guess, the primary problems that you're seeing?
I probably would say people not wearing masks, going into stores, employees not wearing masks in some of the places. We have our inspectors out on a daily basis, not only doing their regular things, relicensing restaurants and doing regular housing inspections, but we respond to all of the different complaints and we are, we try not to be punitive, but if we find that it's a spot that, we've been there 2-3 times, we will ticket if we have to. We'd rather not do that. Right. We understand people are struggling and trying to get their business back going, but there are guidelines that people need to keep up, because that's the reason we're down so low as far as numbers. People are wearing masks and following the guidelines, the social distancing guidelines, and washing your hands and doing all the things that you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. When I see cases referred, Ruth, what does that mean?
So those were cases that we would initially have gotten came to our Maven. We go through a system through the state called Maven, where we get our communicable disease cases. And when it comes on our line list, some of these cases end up being in other states, other cities, in a long-term care facility in another city. So referred means that we referred them back to the city where they actually reside.
Oh, okay.
So we've had about, out of all those cases, about 52 cases that really came to us initially but ended up not being our cases.
Gotcha. Because I know initially it was you were giving the number of people that were quarantined. Is that still happening?
So any active case, once we get them, is what we call isolated. And then we have their contacts would be quarantined.
Okay.
So depending on how many contacts, and that changes mm-hmm. on a daily basis depending on the cases. So at one point we had, I believe, 8 cases and maybe 10 to 12 contacts from those 8 cases. But the contacts change, every 14 days is your quarantine period for a contact to a case. So when their 14-day period ends, they're off of quarantine. So those numbers change very frequently, but okay. It all depends on how many active cases you have and how many contacts those active cases have.
Yeah, so you're still doing the contact tracing then?
Yeah, we do that all the time anyways, even on a regular communicable disease, not COVID. If someone has salmonella or any foodborne illness, we do contact tracing. It's something we've always done for 20 years here in the health department that I've been here. So it's part of public health. It was so important, obviously, and COVID-19 still is important, but we're continuing to do that. We trace their home contacts, their social contacts, their work contacts, so that we can make sure that we're getting everyone and making sure that the people who need to quarantine, and the cases isolate and so that we're hopefully stopping the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah. Are you concerned at all about, you know, people from some of the hotspots now that are emerging in the South and the West, you know?
Yeah, I am. I'm looking at, you know, every day I get up and I watch the news and before I come to work and I look at what's going on in the country. And obviously, you know, you can't look at that without being concerned. You know, I try to stay optimistic about how we're doing here. But again, you have to keep into consideration that we are in the summer months. People travel a lot. Yes, people coming into Massachusetts from most of the states. The governor lifted a little of the restrictions yesterday for New England states and New York and New Jersey. But coming in from other states, you're supposed to quarantine for 14 days. However, that's not really monitored by anyone. Right. So we're taking people on their word that they're doing this. But it's a concern. It's always a concern. You know, we're always in the back of our mind. Yeah, our numbers are really good now, but this virus has not gone away. Just take a look at other parts of the country and how quickly it started to resurge again and spread. So we don't want that. Obviously, we don't want to have to go backward with any of the plans that we've already, already accomplished at this point. And that's why I think it's so important that we stress to people to make sure you're still doing the social distancing. Make sure that you're wearing those masks. They are or some sort of face covering. It's very important. It does work. And I know it's hot and it's uncomfortable and it's hot for people working in restaurants and kitchens. It's really an uncomfortable thing, but it does. The better we do this, the quicker we hopefully get rid of these cases of the virus and the quicker we'll hopefully get back to a more normal state.
Sure. And we are, as we saw today, moving forward. The governor announced phase three beginning on Monday. What does that mean, Lindsay?
So phase three, we don't have the specifics yet of exactly what it's going to entail. But phase three involves fitness and health clubs that will be able to reopen under certain guidelines, strict guidelines, but certain sector-specific guidelines. The governor also mentioned museums, cultural institutions, historical institutions, and some small guided tours. So a little bit of tourism will hopefully get back into motion. And there was some talk about changing the restrictions on visitation to nursing homes and assisted livings and adult day health programs hopefully will start up again. So a lot of those things that were either non-existent during the surge and have been closed, the fitness clubs have been closed for a long time, will be able to reopen. It's probably going to look very different for people. If the last time they went into a gym was prior to COVID-19, and then you go back in with the restrictions, and again, I haven't seen the specifics yet, but it's going to be very different, and it's necessary. It's changes that are necessary until we get back to some semblance of normalcy with this virus.
I think that's so important to point out is that, you know, we hear about things reopening again, but it's not going to be like it was before, even in the last phase, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to be like it was before. I think people, just for the fact that we're going through and living through a pandemic, I think it may change everybody's or most people's mindset as to how they do things and where they're going to go and, is it safe? Is it not safe? And I think as time goes on and we see, you know, the numbers keep going down, I think it will be much easier for people to expand out a little and get more comfortable doing some of the things that they did before. But I think it's going to take a while. I think people, are afraid still, and we're looking at what's going on in other parts of the United States, and we don't want that to come back to that point. So right. We still have to be careful. I want people to be out there enjoying, you know, and going out to restaurants, enjoying all the food establishments, going to the beaches, enjoying the outdoors, but you still have to be cautious.
Sure. One of the biggest questions, concerns, of course, is going back to school in the fall, Ruth, and what that will look like.
Yeah. So, Department of Education has put out some preliminary guidelines. I'll be working with a task force for the Quincy Public Schools with Kevin Mulvey and a lot of the people involved in that to hopefully come up with some of the plans that they need to. There are very specific requirements that the schools have to follow for the Department of Education. And they're pretty extensive, so I'll be working with Quincy Public Schools on that. I've had an ongoing conversation and involvement with Rita Bailey and the summer school programs to come up with, you know, things that we think are as safe as possible and to make sure that the guidelines are being met as much as they can. Sure. Difficult. It's difficult with kids and little kids especially, and trying to find the right space and the distancing and make sure people are washing their hands and wearing face coverings when they can. So there's a lot involved, but I think, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there.
And concern, obviously, with the teachers and staff, too, you know, that they don't get infected.
Absolutely. There's a lot to think about when you look at a school system, from students to the building itself to the staff, and many of the teachers might fit into what we consider a high risk, or you know, even if someone has an underlying health issue and may not be high risk age, but underlying health issue. So all those things have to be taken into consideration. We want everybody safe. We want staff safe. We want teachers, you know, all safe. The kids all safe. We don't want kids bringing, you know, illness home or bringing it to school and infecting teachers. So there's a lot of different aspects to making this a safe opening.
Yeah. Do you think school sports will ever be able to come back in some capacity?
Yeah, I think they will eventually. I think that you have to look at, you know, the how close contact some sports are. You know, we know that, you know, football, baseball, things like that are closer contact or more of a contact sport. Right now, if you look at rec departments and camps, it's being limited to practice rather than actual games, and you know, just practicing shooting hoops rather than playing an actual game of basketball, because we're trying to stop that close contact. And kids playing, especially youth, youth sports, kids playing somehow can forget that they're not social distancing. You're interested in the game, you're going for going for the ball. And it's very easy for kids and adults, I would suppose, to forget that social distancing. Hard to be wearing a mask and playing sports at the same time. So it's all gonna be very different. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get those guidelines going and keep people safe, but still be able to do some of these physical, physical things that they always have loved to do.
Yeah, I see a lot of folks just out walking around wearing masks. And it is that necessary, do you think?
So, it really depends. It depends on if you're walking, if you're outdoors, first of all, it's much better than being indoors with people, because you have the fresh air and you have some space, open space, which is better. If you're walking in an area that has a lot of space and you can distance yourself 6 feet from someone, and you're not passing close by them when you're walking by them, you could do that without a mask, you know, have the mask with you, but you could do that without a mask and safely do that and still enjoy your walk. Obviously, if you see, you know, a bunch of people together, hopefully they're all related and they're a family that live in the same house, because, you know, families really don't have to, if they live together, don't have to social distance from each other. But if there are, you know, 5 or 6 kids who are from all different households, you know, they should be wearing masks and social distancing. Difficult. You see a bunch of kids riding bikes and they stop for something, that social distancing might not be there. They may not have masks on. So, but if you're walking and you can keep your distance and you're moving consistently, the mask doesn't have to be on. I see a lot of they're fine and keep the mask off, and then they running near somebody, they just whip the mask back up for a second and put it back down. That's the perfect thing to do.
Okay.
You don't have to wear a mask, by the way, when you're driving alone in your car.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot too. Yeah.
A lot. And I think people are just being extra careful.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you go to a drive-through window, you should have your mask up. Gas station, put your mask up. But when you're in the car, you know, by yourself, even if the windows are open and there's nobody close by you at your window, you don't really need to have a mask on to drive.
Right. I'm guilty myself, and I'll explain why. Is if I'm in between stops, it's just
keep it on.
Just leave it on, then take it off.
It is easier. I agree. You know, the mask gets caught in my earring, and but I try to keep it off when I'm in the car by myself.
So. Yeah, and those of us that wear glasses certainly know the hazards of that. Yeah.
Yeah, just in fogging up the glasses when you're trying to breathe. It's not the most comfortable thing to do, but I think people on the whole are doing a pretty good job, and I think it really is making a difference.
That's great. Can we talk about some basic summer stuff, Ruth? I know the beach water testing program has started again.
We did start that again, and that is that's going okay. We had a lot of rain this last week, so the test results are up a bit, and that's not to be that's not unexpected, because mm-hmm. we see sometimes the test results higher, but we are in full swing with that. We are in the process of doing swimming pool licensing, and some pools are opening, some aren't, depending, because there are some guidelines and restrictions that the state requires semi-public and public swimming pools to have. So
Our inspectors
are out there doing that.
Is the Lincoln Hancock pool open, do you know?
The Lincoln Hancock, the indoor pools are not open yet in phase two. Maybe phase three, I don't know, I'm not sure. This applies to outdoor pools only. The indoor pools can be used by the camps, like the Lincoln Hancock pool can be used by the rec department for swims, but it's very specific as to what you can do, how many kids you can have in the pool.
Sure.
Guidelines for semi-public and public pools on mass.gov/reopening if people are interested in looking. But we are out doing our normal licensing of pools if pools plan on opening. The particular place that has the pool is responsible for going on to the government website and looking at what guidelines they have to comply with. So we're not really inspecting those guidelines. We're not expected to go in and look at those guidelines unless we have a complaint.
So. Gotcha. Okay. Mosquitoes are going to be rearing their ugly heads again.
I'm sure they will, and ticks too. We're getting into that season, and again, you know, the same. I haven't heard that it's going to be excessively, bad for either one. However, COVID-19 has kind of taken over and taken the place of, as far as importance of everything. So we are, mosquito spraying program through Norfolk County will happen again this year. Mm-hmm. And we are, advising people to do what we normally tell them to do or ask them to do for mosquitoes and ticks and in warm weather, and stay out of the wooded areas and get rid of standing water, that type of thing. It's that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we won't have a bad year, but that remains to be seen. So
right.
We'll see.
Yeah. If it was going to be a bad year, this seems like it would be the.
Well, I'm waiting for like the murder hornets or something to come in, because
honestly,
we haven't had a lot of luck with stuff this year, so I'm hoping that it gives us a break. Yeah.
Yeah. Repellent with DEET, as I recall, is that right?
Right. With DEET, make sure when you're putting repellent on children, it's age specific for them. Look at the guidelines, look at the labels, make sure you're putting it on mm-hmm. correctly. Babies, shouldn't be out in a carriage without a net on it, at dawn and dusk. And you can't put on babies, you can't put this type of solution on their skin. You can't put a repellent on. So all those things, fix your screens, careful where you go, use a repellent when you go out, all those things that we normally tell you apply this year too.
Sure. Yeah. Dawn and dusk, I know, are the peak mosquito.
Biggest times, keep your yard, keep the lawn cut low in your yard. If you're going into wooded areas, go in prepared, wear something in your shoe if you're going hiking, and make sure I know it could be warm, but long sleeves, those type of things that keep the ticks off of you. You never know when you're brushing by a bush or a tree that a tick might be there. So you have to be cautious, because there's so many mosquito borne and tick borne diseases that can make people really sick.
Yeah. How is the rodent control program going?
So we're seeing obviously an uptake in cases because of the warm weather.
Oh.
And it's funny, we're looking at, you know, there was a lot of information from the Mass Department of Public Health regarding the changes you might see, because our restaurants and a lot of food facilities were closed for so long that dumpsters were empty. And obviously dumpsters are a great place for rodents to try to get food from. And so we were cautioned to look at if all these food establishments and were closed, that rodents might venture out into neighborhoods where people are home more. A lot of people are still home and working from home. There's a lot more rubbish and garbage in people's yards, barrels. It might be overflowing. We're not seeing a huge difference from that, but we are seeing, you know, we are seeing an uptick on cases now this time of year, which we expect. So our program is in full force, and you know, we have a dedicated inspector that deals with the road calls, and he's been a little bit busier the past few weeks with okay. calls. So we're right on that. We're continuing to bait single family owner occupied houses if we see burrows there. So we're continuing on with our regular program.
Okay. So people should contact the health department if they have an issue.
If you're a single family home and owner occupied and you think you have burrows, our inspector will come down and look at it. Even if it's a two-family, three-family home and you just want our inspector to look and see, you know, oftentimes people will see rats in their yard, but they're not necessarily in their yard. And so if you see something and you need us to come down and look, we're happy to come down and look. It might be your neighbor's yard who's, you know, who has to treat. So we're happy to look no matter what, you know, the situation is, the living situation is, we're happy to come down and look and advise multifamily homes and advise the owner what they need to do.
Okay. I know the city council, before they convened, did pass some new regulations that give the health department a little more teeth, basically.
They did. And I have to thank Councilor Nina Liang for getting involved and really being the driving force in getting that put through the city council. So there are a number of codes and regulations that we go by in the health department, state sanitary code, the FDA food code, that we use in order to do our inspections and site either a restaurant, a food facility, a house for any violations. And prior to this ordinance, these ordinances going through, the only thing that the health department could really write a ticket for would be for a dumpster, whether it be a dumpster in a restaurant or a dumpster in a regular apartment building, or whatever, office building. We couldn't write tickets for anything pretty much other than dumpster violations. What this ordinance does is it allows all the different codes, health codes that we use when we do our inspections, to be accepted as part of the municipal code, which allows us to use 21D, which is the fact that we could write a ticket for non-criminal disposition. So it allows us to write a ticket if your grass is too high and you're not doing it. Now, obviously, we don't want to be out there writing a ticket for every little thing. This would be the cases where, you know, we've been working with someone for a month and they're still not doing what they had to do. Prior to this, say, a housing issue, we would have to file it in court and wait for a court date, and it can drag it out, and that can lead to a lot of more issues issues escalating in a housing situation.
Yeah.
This way we can write a ticket and hopefully get some cooperation right away. So it gives us a lot more teeth to actually do our job. And so again, I have to thank Councilor Liang for being the driving force and helping us with this. I think it'll make a big difference in what we
do. And did the ordinance requiring trash bags to be in barrels pass also?
That was not put through in the city council. We decided to withdraw that at this point.
Oh, okay.
Maybe have a little bit more discussion on that fact. We're hopefully going to try to bring that up at a different point, but There's that was combined with an order to for bait boxes at dumpsters, and we're going to try to bring that all up at another time.
Okay, very good. So anything else we should touch on today, Ruth, do you think?
No, I think we've hit a little of everything. You know, some of our, one of our camps is going to be hopefully opening. You know, this is our season that we usually have a lot of recreational camps, private recreational camps. A lot of them weren't able to open just because of COVID-19 and situations where a lot of them were in school gyms and the school gyms are closed. But we are working with the YMCA to hopefully be able to have them at least partially have some type of camp, maybe, you know, within the next week or so. But other than that, I think we've pretty much touched on everything. I just want to, you know, thank people, those who have cooperated. You know, it's not easy for us to be the bad guy to say, you got to put your mask on and, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. But it really does make a difference in if anybody has issues. And as we go on with the different phases, you know, call the health department. We're happy to advise. We're happy to go out if there's a complaint or a violation. You know, we're here. We're happy to take those phone calls and help you out.
Okay. What's a good number to call, Ruth?
So the main number of the health department, which would get our front desk, which is probably the best number to call, 617-376, either 1273 or 1274. You'll get either one of our front desk people, and they can take the complaint. My direct line here at the health department, if you have any questions or issues you need to speak to me, is 617-376-1272. If you call those front desk numbers, that can also transfer you to any one of the nurses who are happy to answer any health questions and COVID-19 questions. So,
okay, and do you still have the 1288 number operating?
The 1288 number was the COVID hotline for a while, has now been dismantled and is now the beach hotline because every year we have that as the beach hotline. So if people call that 617-376-1288 now, you will get the beach results. And we do that every year. We just used it as the COVID hotline up to this point.
So. Okay. And of course, through the city website also.
Right. www.quincyma.gov and click on the link to the health department. All sorts of information, all our contact information, our emails are there, phone numbers. So happy to help in whatever way we can.
All right. Great to see you, Ruth. I said this last time, but hopefully next time we can do it in person.
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there, Joe. We're little by little, baby steps. So we're getting there.
You're right. Yeah. Happy, safe holiday to you and your family and staff.
And thank you. Same to you also.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Joe. Thank you.